Yeah, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. We're about to go around the NFL, but you guys keep sending in your various most memorable waits.
Yeah, send them in.
I gotta try and do my best about getting some of these in. Y'all are having a blast. Somebody said back after Desert Storm, waited hours to get into a tent that was acting as a store. After all that time, when they got in, sold out of almost everything.
Oh, my goodness.
That's tough.
We were just talking about that, Vicky.
Yeah.
They said they got cans of snuff, and they've been dipping ever since. So, like, not only did you have to wait, they ain't have much, and they gave you a bad habit. Like, that's
you
that's
got addicted
sick.
To something.
That's sick, bro. Yeah.
Gave you an addiction.
And then from the 832, this I thankfully don't know this firsthand, but they said there is no longer of a wait than when you are waiting to get processed out of the county jail. Longest wait of my life. Yeah,
man. Sound like it.
Yeah, I bet.
That's tough.
I never been through it, but I know some folks, some close friends that's been through it.
And don't go to jail before a holiday, man.
Don't do it.
Not on a Friday.
Because a lot of people get in trouble around the 4th of July, which is coming up.
Oh, it's coming
and they
up.
Not coming back till Monday.
To Tuesday.
Tuesday.
Yeah.
You're not seeing that judge.
You'd be in there for 4 days. Yeah.
Off of something that you probably should just spend a night.
Over something stupid. Yep.
Right. So
you would have been out in a couple hours.
100%. So that's Adidas Nice. Ice is a
act right, people. Just act right.
My personality that I like a lot. He loved to say on a Friday, avoid the bookings because you get hemmed up on a Friday.
It's a wrap.
It's over.
Seen a judge till Monday, baby.
Your whole weekend gone, man.
And now you get out of work or you get out of jail, you might be able to go straight to work or you might miss a day. Like, there's a lot of things.
Plus, you don't want to be in there for no 3 days, man.
Or you work weekends. You might not have a job no more.
That is 100%. Yeah. Just off some nonsense. Just off some nonsense. How do we get here? Anyways.
Who knows?
Let's go.
That's the longest wait.
It is a long wait. It is indeed. All right, let's go around the NFL where it's interesting. We have continued to be in this space where the pass rushers are out here trying to get their money. And we've talked a lot about the Trey Hendrickson with the Bengals in part because I think the Bengals are a nonsense organization that does not handle their money right.
Cheap.
They act like some broke boys.
Cheap.
Very much cheap. And I like making fun of them for that. Should I? I don't know.
They've always been like that for the most part.
That's right.
Always.
Correct.
Always.
I still think back to, what was it, TJ? Was it TJ Houshmandzadeh talking about the fact that they had to, like, reuse jock straps and stuff like that?
Yeah.
Like,
I believe it might have been him, yeah.
Yeah, that is not an organization that I hold up as a bastion of good practice.
They are not.
But so we've talked a lot about the Trey Hendrickson as well as Shamar Stewart out there. But we haven't talked as much about TJ Watt with the Steelers. And it becomes more interesting because they did that interesting little weird trade that they did where they kind of just, by the way, I don't think we acknowledged this yesterday, a trade where you had three all pros moving teams, Jonnu Smith.
Yeah.
Micah Fitzpatrick.
Oh,
Jalen Ramsey.
Yeah, we didn't. Yeah.
Like, that's a lot of really. Typically, that doesn't happen. We mentioned it in the moment, like a player for player trade.
But we didn't really get into the meat of it.
Technically, that's like a blockbuster trade.
And it's weird because, like, teams typically don't do that. If you have an all pro caliber player, why get another all pro caliber player in the same position? It feels like a weird swap that kind of wastes time, like the Minka for Jalen Ramsey. But that's neither here nor there. What it does point to is clearly the Steelers are trying to do some level of making their team better. They add Jonnu Smith, as a tight end. But they still have not addressed what is probably the most important part of their defense in TJ Watt, that pressure that it's applied. And it's gotten to a point now where Adam Schefter reported yesterday that in recent weeks, multiple teams have been discussing whether they can trade for TJ Watt. He skipped mini camps with them, but Pittsburgh hasn't shown a willingness to deal him. However, he's still unhappy with his contract situation. So this is a weird impasse. So maybe you could continue to see with him being unhappy, does it maybe with the timeline continue to push forward, especially if he's willing to actually hold out?
Yeah.
Does this put pressure on the Steelers actually having to trade him? And is that beneficial at all for them, a team that is trying to be some level of good, but also not paying their guy, TJ Watt, who has consistently been good, and I think there's a reason to expect him to continue to be good over the lifetime of whatever deal you give him?
I can't see how this would be good in any way for the Steelers to actually trade TJ Watt. Go ahead and figure it out. Get that man his money. And honestly, I believe that they will do it. But you know how sometimes these teams, they want to drag things out. It make guys wait until the last minute to get paid. Don't know why they do it. It just doesn't seem. It seems counterproductive to me.
It's another reason I don't either. To some degree, like in some instances, you're talking about maybe shaving off, relative pennies.
Yeah.
on a deal. And I think that this is another point and reason to have an appreciation for the way that the Texans have situated their MO, where they're like, winning this individual negotiation probably isn't the most important thing. Like, winning this particular deal. Yeah. Making sure that your players are happy with the deals that they have, that they're comfortable when they come to work, that they feel good about the organization. Is that worth the extra million, 2 million in certain circumstances or what have you, whatever the number
actually is? For some players, yes, it is.
And it feels like TJ Watt would be that player.
You're more than likely the best player on your team, just overall, just by production. Am I wrong about that? He's been the best Steeler for a number of years now.
Largely agree. And so, a huge facet of that defense that has been carrying them, because it ain't been the offense that's been making that thing work.
No.
I'm kind of curious. Like, I wonder why they're doing this. And I feel like this whole offseason was not really a Steelers type of offseason that they've been doing for years.
Just look at the Aaron Rodgers saga.
Yeah, it just seemed like they loading up on these players that they never would have did this for. And it seemed like TJ Watt would be the safest thing to make sure he's happy.
Have they bent themselves way far out of the Steelers' MO? Because the Steelers used to have a very particular MO, which is, you know,
yeah.
And maybe this is some of what's happening here, is that they're still trying to maintain it without actually figuring out what the utility is. But they used to be that the Steelers don't overpay, right? Like,
never overpay.
We'll
get
to a place.
They never overdraft. They never trade up. They never did that type of stuff.
Yeah.
And now you trade for Jalen Ramsey. You trading for DK Metcalf. It seemed like they trading for a lot of type of players that they never would have traded for
in the past.
Yeah.
And it just seems like they're trying to fit. It's almost like they're grasping at straws. They're trying to figure out something to get back over the hump, because it's not like they've been a horrible team, but they've been right in the middle there.
But it's
I don't want to say mediocre, because they've been better than mediocre, but they just haven't been good enough to get over the hump of getting out of the first round.
I wonder if their GM is kind of feeling a little pressure now. This seemed very Tennessee-ish, where they just kind of went out in the offseason and paid everybody this money. It's like, why are you paying all these people this money for you not to be good the next year?
Yeah.
713. Don't use my words against me. Teams wait to pay players for the same reason Reggie waits to pay his rent. Tomorrow ain't promising he's going to take them. All right. I don't like it when people use my words.
Hey,
You're right, though.
Hey, you set yourself up for that one.
I know I did.
You set yourself up for that.
I can't be mad at anyone else, but I can't be mad at myself, and that's where I am in this moment. No, but yeah, I it's weird because the Steelers, again, it feels like they, at least when they had an MO, they stuck to their MO, and that was the plan, and it worked, right?
That's what you appreciate about the Steelers,
right,
too. They saying, we not about to give you all of this. This is the Steelers' way.
They didn't bend.
But they've never been.
It feels like they're in a weird place where they haven't stuck closely to an MO, but they're also not abandoning an MO or building a new one. They're just in this weird nebulous place where they're doing weird stuff.
Maybe they're just tweaking the MO. I don't know.
I don't know if that works.
I don't know how that works.
We'll see. We'll see what it looks like.
But don't do it with your best player. I'm sorry. Just not with your best guy.
I wouldn't, especially in a place where you've already acquiesced to Aaron Rodgers and let him hold you over a barrel for an entire offseason to some degree. So
that part.
Yeah. Some other things that are happening around the NFL, something that's happening right this moment. Darren Waller, the tight end that I think was last played for the New York Giants. He is unretiring after he retired. I don't know that he retired in order to pursue a music career, but he did do a little music. It seemed like it was related to his breakup with his fiance. I don't know. Did they get married?
I can't recall.
Kelsey Plum, who was a WNBA player.
Yeah.
But maybe he was just in a time in his life, and understandable for that dude in particular. He has had times in his life, right, with substance abuse and stuff.
He's gone through it.
But it seems like he wants to come back to football. I believe that the Giants still have his rights. I don't think they renounced them yet.
I thought he was going to Miami.
Huh.
I thought he unretired to get sent to Miami or something.
I'll have to check on that. But I do know that Darren Waller is seemingly unretiring, and the Dolphins trade for him. So that is how they're deciding to make up for the Jonnu Smith trade. Thank you. I appreciate you. Best of luck to you. The Dolphins also seem like a team that, after, you know, being an interesting team, having a lot of young talent, just being fast, they're in this place where I don't think they're going to be good this year.
I don't think they have a path to it.
Yeah.
There's no direction, it feels like.
No.
It doesn't feel like a lot of direction there in Miami. I mean, wasn't Tyreek Hill talking about he wanted out right after the regular season?
Mm-hmm.
And then he kind of went back on that, and Then he's trying to get back into the good graces, it seems like, with the team and with the fans. Like, it's just a lot going on in Miami.
Yeah.
That's not good.
Is it fair to say Mike McDaniel is on the hot seat this year?
Oh, yeah, 100%.
He will be.
100%. I think you can already kind of tell his tone kind of changing a little bit.
He hasn't done enough to not be.
No. And, I mean, he's put together some good offenses, but I think ultimately you are a head coach as opposed to an offensive coordinator, even though you're a play caller. And as a head coach, his teams have underperformed. And they've underperformed in a very particular way, which is they have not looked like they've been built for playoff football.
They haven't been, really.
And so
they just haven't been.
Hey, being a good regular season team is cool. If you can't get out here and play playoff football, like, that is the way that our league is built, is for you to be able to go.
Got to win the postseason.
They haven't won a postseason game since, what, 2000?
Goodness gracious.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if it was longer than that, honestly.
Wouldn't let
it's
that happen
been
to me,
a long
though.
Time.
Yeah, I want to say Dante Culpepper was playing for him, I think.
That's a name from the past right there, Dante Culpepper.
Although,
man,
would you be plotting on the McDaniels downfall in this way where
come in, that's the OC?
Offense goes well. Nick Cayley goes and gets a head coach job, and all of a sudden now McDaniel out here looking for a job.
Ah,
wanna,
bring him in.
I'm 100% down with that.
You want to come on down to coach Coach C.J. Stroud and Nico Collins, you want that?
I'm 100% down with that.
We haven't even gotten into this. We haven't even gotten to training camp this year, and I'm
and you're already trying to.
We talk about 2026.
You're already trying to get another. We just got a new offensive coordinator to Houston.
But you
got
to see, this is the thing. This is what we're talking about with the Steelers. They don't have a plan. You know what I mean? You see what I'm saying, brother?
You got a plan.
You got to open your third eye, brother. I'm planning on things going so well.
I got
that
you.
Nick Cayley gets going goes somewhere.
That he moves on.
You know what I mean? And so I got to have contingencies, and one of those contingencies is maybe Mike McDaniel.
Basically, the Texans are going to be number one offense this year. They're going to go 14-3. And
I like what you're talking about.
That's about how it's going to happen.
I like what you're doing right now.
To be that good for him to get a head coaching job that fast.
And I would like that to be the case.
to get Mike McDaniel in.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right. I mean, it doesn't
happen. It's your world.
If there's another office coordinator, cool. But yeah. Some other things around the NFL. We mentioned this. We're in an interesting place looking at signings for rookies because we're getting near camp. We're 3 weeks out from camp getting started.
Roughly,
up.
Yeah, about 3 weeks.
It is 3 weeks. Yeah. 3 weeks, 21 more days for players to report for most teams,
for
including the Texans. Yeah. And so we're 3 weeks out, and there is a number of second-round picks that remain unsigned.
Yeah.
It's a weird kind of space, and it seems like that space is particular. Because second round picks seem to be a battleground for a labor kind of dispute, which is can second round picks get fully guaranteed contracts?
Well, yeah.
And of course, the Texans might have helped spark this in signing Jaden Higgins to a fully guaranteed contract. And then after him, what is it? It's Schlesinger. I don't remember what his first name is, but he is a Browns linebacker drafted out of UCLA. He also gets a fully guaranteed contract. And I believe that there haven't been any other second rounders signed. Maybe
the other 30 are still unsigned.
But the other 30 are still unsigned, including Ariante Ursary, who is a second round pick for the Texans. And I'm wondering, do you believe that this is all around fully guaranteed contracts, or is this just kind of a weird anomaly? Because specifically, the Texans having another second round pick that they would need to sign would point me to the idea you felt comfortable signing Higgins guaranteed. Although understanding he is pretty much the expectation is he's a starter. So I can understand why they go, all right, let's just go ahead and Ariante Ursary, maybe not a starter this year, but it does feel like they have high hopes for him and high expectations.
Yeah.
It feel like as a Texans team, at the very least, not talking about the rest of the league, you feel comfortable going, all right, if we gave him a fully guaranteed, we could probably give him a fully guaranteed. Are you in your mindset? Do you think that this anomaly, or maybe it's not an anomaly, this weirdness of all these second round picks not being signed is about fully guaranteed contracts?
It's hard to call it an anomaly when it's so many players.
Right.
It's 30 guys. Now, for the fact that you point out Ursary and Higgins, as far as the Texans go, those two second round picks, it is kind of weird that the Texans wouldn't go ahead and give both. Now, maybe you want to give one a little less than the other based on, but there's no slotting for the second round picks, right? Like the first round, right?
When it comes to contracts?
Yeah, when it comes to, because the first round picks, they're all slotted specifically. So I don't think that goes the way for the rest of the round. So, yeah, it's weird. I mean, I would have to lean toward it being, you know, more so about the fully guaranteed contracts with all these second round picks, because that's just, Figgy, wouldn't you agree, that's one hell of an anomaly to have 30 players just all suddenly, coincidentally, like, there's no... That's too big of a coincidence for me.
Yeah, no, I agree. It seemed, I really don't understand it, to be honest. I'm not sure if they all trying to get that guarantee.
Which, it has to be.
Yeah, yeah. That's probably it. And I want it kind of got me thinking, why Nick Caserio decide to pay him?
They won.
I wonder if they just so confident in him and what he can be. That way they just trying to get in on it early because they know maybe he's going to be a beast. They got that much confidence in him.
Yeah, we just talked about Nick Caserio seeming like, not seeming, his philosophy of we don't need to like win the deal. We can afford to, be a little, be a little bit more giving, I guess, for lack of a better term, in our negotiations.
Flexible. Be flexible.
Flexible is a good word to use. Thank you. I appreciate that. In order to get a deal that is advantageous for both sides but still works, and you have an expectation, as you mentioned, of him factoring in. I just don't understand how that would vary all that differently from Ursary. But yeah, it'll be interesting. Apparently, maybe I missed this, Seth, on his YouTube page kind of did a deep dive into why this is happening. So I might need to go check that out myself because Seth is always very good on that. But an interesting thing that's happening nonetheless as we continue to barrel towards training camp and the 2025 NFL season.
It's around the corner.
Very much so. Can't wait to get there. Although, look, we got fun things happening all over Houston that continue to catch our attention, including the Rockets putting together a team that looks like they're really going to contend in the ways that we were hoping when we first figured that, were second round or number two rather pick or not number two pick, rather
seed.
Second seed, thank you, in the West. And then they add KD. But now they've added Dorian Finney-Smith, which adds to a wing room that's getting kind of robust, which leads me to this question.
It's crowded.
Crowded is a word you could use, but I feel like it's
not
good.
In a bad way. I'm not saying the bad crowded.
Fair enough. What is the best position group in Houston sports now? Because this wing group is raising the question. 713-572-4610. What do you think the best position group is in Houston? We'll talk about it next.